It's been a beautiful day this afternoon as we've been able to go about and look out and to see the sunshine, the beautiful green foliage, the flowers that are blooming from the rain that we've had the abundance of. And we hear the birds and we can say, God is so good. God is so good. He's so good because we get to assemble in an assembly like this. And we get to lift our song, voice and song of praise. We get to look out and see an assembly of people that love the Lord and want to serve the Lord. And I am thankful that I get to stand here and see each of you assemble for that reason. It was in 1876 that General Custer led the 7th Cavalry to the Indian Management Mission. They came to the gathering of these Indians in the valley of Little Bighorn River in Montana. Scouts had gone out and seen the Indians that were gathered there. And they found them sitting there with Sitting Bull, the chief. They thought, well, we can go down with our army, the 7th Cavalry, and we can take these Indians. Little did he know that he had come into a combined forces of Sitting Bull and the Sioux Indian Nation, to which Custer faced defeat. It became known as Custer's last stand. You know, overconfidence will do that to you. Overconfidence. How many times have you known of a team that's going out to play ball and they'll say, well, you know, really, this game doesn't really have a whole lot in it because this team really is not that good. It's the team that's after this one that you've really got to worry about. To which you're saying after the game, well, I wish we could have gotten to play that team because we looked past this team, looking to that team. You know, it's all about our attitude. It's all about being where we ought to be and being in our mind being set on the things that we ought to have it set on. And I think about that, and I think about our attitude. I think about the idea that what we need to do is we need to choose your attitude. We all make a choice as to what our attitude is going to be. As I look up there and I see pictures that are not blocked out, I see different facial expressions. And these facial expressions give me some idea of different attitudes. Just by looking at them, I can say, oh, well, this person's worried, this person's perplexed, this person's not happy, this person doesn't care one thing about anything, this person is very happy. You know, the fact of the matter is that we choose our attitude. Really, what we need to understand is that there are really two mental lists that we have. We have examples of this. You know, for example, we have the idea of I'm going gray, or you can have the attitude I still have my hair. You can have the attitude I'm overweight, no dieting at all. Somebody can say, well, if I diet, I'll be healthier and I'll feel better, so I diet. Somebody says, my shoulder hurts. My shoulder was hurting the other day. I told Gary, my shoulder hurts. But everything else was good. So which one do I choose to focus on? My shoulder that hurts? Or everything else that's okay? My life is half over. I'm getting old. Maybe well half over in some cases. We don't know. What's your attitude about those things? Well, we choose. We choose. Those mental lists give us, and we can go on and on and on talking about these things. But really what these things do, these examples and many other things, what can we really do? Well, we can choose what side we're going to be on. We can choose whether we're going to have a positive mental aspect about life. We can choose to say, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to choose to live my life. Or I can just say, well, you know what? I don't want to live a good positive life. I don't want to choose to think about the positive things. And we can sit here and we can mope about our shoulders hurting and the weather that's not good, the rain that's falling and it's messing up my plans. And, you know, we got all this stuff that we can't do anything about. And we worry, we fuss, we whine, we complain. But what can we do about it? Nothing. So why choose to have a bad attitude? Why choose to be unhappy? Why choose to try to make other people unhappy with you? But you know what? That's what I've learned. Misery loves company. I've never known anybody who's miserable who just sits there and says, I want to be miserable by myself. No, they're miserable, and you walk up and you say, well, is something wrong? And they say, well, just let me tell you about it. And they want to pull you down there in the gutter with them. They will pull you down there in that ditch and let you be down there in the mire with them. And no, what we need to do is just say, no, I'm not gonna let life pull me down. You know, I think about this, and I think about two attitudes, and I think about attitudes that we choose. When I think about this, I think about the New Testament speaks to this idea. As a matter of fact, it gives us examples. One is here in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, I'm thinking about the Apostle Paul here. And you know, the Apostle Paul is writing the Philippian letter. He's writing the Philippian letter at a time when he is in prison. Things are not going well for Paul. He's imprisoned in Philippi, and why is he doing that? Because he's done something wrong? No, he's in prison because he's been preaching the gospel. He's been trying to do the Lord's will, and for that, he is now in bonds. Well, when you turn to Philippians chapter 1, you have that in your mindset, and he then begins to talk about things. He talks in this epistle a lot about joy. But notice what he says. Begin in verse 12 with me. He says, I would have you to understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that in my bonds in Christ are manifest, and all that are in the palace and all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident in my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ and the other of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, and the other of love, knowing that I'm set for defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice and will rejoice. You know what I see here? I see Paul, he's not going to let anything get him down. He's in prison. He's in bonds. And what's he say? He says, these things have happened for good. Why? Because I'm where I am, I'm able to preach the gospel to people that I would not ever be able to preach the gospel to without me being where I am. The circumstances I find myself in. You know, that is a positive. He's choosing the two mental lists. And he could have said, you know, woe is me. I shouldn't be here. He could write this out and say, you know, y'all need to be praying for me. Y'all need to be hoping that somebody will come and do those people who've put me in prison, that they be, no. And then he's got people that are preaching. And so he says, some are preaching in of envy. Some are wanting to add affliction to me. They're wanting to add more to my bonds. He says, but, you know, I'm not going to be bothered by that. No, rather these things are happening that others are preaching the gospel with boldness and of goodwill, not wanting to add affliction to my bonds. Others of love, because of that, I'm set for a defense of the gospel. I'm taking courage in this. And you know what? I'm going to rejoice, and I therein do rejoice. I will tell you, the Apostle Paul will say, I'm choosing which side I'm on. I'm choosing to look at the good side rather than the bad side. And that's what so many times we fail to do. I'm turning back now to Ephesians chapter 4. And when I turn to Ephesians chapter 4, I see here is where I think we see the teaching of Paul. I think we see him putting it to practice there in Philippians chapter 2, or chapter 1 rather. But here in Ephesians chapter 4, we look at Paul in verse 22 when he's writing to the church at Ephesus. And he says this, that you put off the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That you put on the new man, which is after God, created in righteousness and true holiness. I want you to stop right here and just notice. What did he say? He said, I want you to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You see, really, Christianity is about your mind. It's about your mental aspect. It's about which mental list a lot of times you're choosing to live in. What side are you going to live in? As I think about this, I'm reminded of the passage back in Philippians chapter 2. In verse 5, when there Paul says to the Philippians, later in that text when he talks about, I'm going to rejoice. He says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you. Which mind is that? The mind that Christ had. What mind did Christ have? What list did he choose? What side did he choose? What side of the ledger did he choose to live in? Well, he who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The Hebrew writer talks about that. He says, for consider him who endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. Chapter 12, verse 3. I think about the Hebrew writer. I think about the Apostle Paul. I think, what is that? They're saying Jesus Christ chose what side? What side of the ledger? Well, not only that, we see Jesus Christ again. What's he doing? He's hanging on the cross. And they're going by and they're reviling him. They say, you know, if you're the Son of God, now he's been telling them the whole time, I'm the Son of God. He's been doing miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, proving the fact that he is the Son of God, that he has the power of God. They said, but now if you'll come down from the cross, we'll believe you. They're reviling him all the while going by. And Father, he says, forgive them. They know not what they do. I see the attitude that he chooses is on the positive side. He chooses that attitude. And so when I think about the Apostle Paul, I think about the Apostle Paul, and when he's talking in Philippians chapter 1 and then Philippians chapter 2, he reminds us, you need to have this mind which is in you. He's talking about this mind that we ought to have. And then he goes on in Philippians chapter 4 and he talks about this idea of joy. He continues in verse 4 of Philippians chapter 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, when do we rejoice? When do we rejoice? Again, I want to say, when do we rejoice? Always. So when is it not always? When is it not always? You know, when I look at Jesus Christ, I see here's always. When I look at the Apostle Paul, I see here's always. What is he saying? He said, I want you to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It's about your mind. It's about your thinking. It's about you getting your thinking right. You need to have your mind right. And so then he goes on. He says, let your moderation, verse 5, be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious about all this stuff. But in everything by prayer. You have the ability to go to your heavenly Father and talk to him about every problem you have. You can cast your care upon him. He cares for you. Go to God in prayer. And with the supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Now, you know what? When I begin to think about that and I think about what he's saying there, I say the New Testament's telling me what I need to do is when I've got all these problems that I think I've got, I need to take that mind that the problems are and I need to let the Lord have that. And I need to rejoice always and again. As Paul says, I say rejoice. That is what the admonition is. That's there are two mental lists. I can make the choice. The choice is mine. Choose you this day, as Joshua said. Choose you this day which attitude you will have. But there's some people who are just cynical. There's some people who just seem like they were weaned on a persimmon. They just seem negative. They don't seem happy. Nothing seems right. Woe is me. And you know what? With Christians, sometimes that even comes into the building, at assemblies. We come into assemblies and sometimes those attitudes walk in the door with us. They ought not. Now the New Testament says, you know, what we need to do is we need to make sure our minds are right. Then continue with me in verse 8. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. You know what? When I'm thinking on those things, it's going to be easy for me to do what Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 says, to do all things without murmuring and disputings. You see, that's not just a suggestion. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 is not just something that Paul says. I want to suggest to you that you don't do things with murmuring and complaining. That you don't do that. That you don't have these murmuring, disputings, or complaining. I don't want that to be a part of your life. I suggest that you're going to be happier if you don't do that. No, that's not what he's saying. What he's saying, he said, this is what the life of a Christian ought to be. That we ought to do all things without murmurings and complainings or disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. That we may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, verse 15 says, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, whom you shine forth as lights. I want to tell you what, if Christians are living that kind of life with a positive outlook, with a positive attitude, and they're going through life, and you know what? Life is not positive. Life is not always going good for you. But you know what? You always look at it and you're always getting on the right side of the ledger, not the left side. You're always seeing the green. You're always seeing the rainbow in the cloud. Then people are going to start to look at you and you're going to shine as a light in a world of darkness. You know, that's what the New Testament tells us. We choose the attitude that dwells within us. It's within our power to determine what that attitude is going to be. Nobody makes me have a negative attitude. Nobody makes me grumpy. It's only up to me. It's what I think about. And that's what chapter 4, verse 8 says. It's what I focus my time on. So Paul says what you need to do is focus on the things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, and praiseworthy. Think on those things. And then what he tells us is think on these things. He says then put them to practice. Put them to practice. And I want to tell you what, when we do that, we will find ourselves following the admonitions of the New Testament. So they ask then, why is this so important? You say, David, why are we talking about an attitude? Is there not something more important we could talk about tonight? And there may be people who said, I don't need this lesson. Well, I don't know. Probably if you say that, you probably need it, you know. Because you've already been on the negative side when you made that statement, didn't you? Why is it so important? Because we live in a world that's running to this side. It's running to the negative. Just turn on the TV and watch the news. I watch the news. I like to keep up with what's going on. But I'm sitting there and I think, you know, it's always something negative. There are people that are always complaining about, they're always finding something to complain. Well, you know what? There are lots of things to complain about. I'll just tell you. Life has got a lot of things to complain about. But you know what? As Christians, we need to remember really what it's about. And that is, it's not about this life. Our attitude really affects our reality. We live where we think. Bad attitudes leads us to a lack of persistence. It leads us to a lack of patience. It leads us to a lack of love. It leads us to a lack of long-suffering. It leads us to a lot of bad things that ought not be a part of a Christian's life. And it all comes back to the fact of a bad attitude. Because sometimes we just think, well, it's not possible to be positive all the time. You know what? I've learned a long time ago that there's something that people that are positive have, and that is that they always have people that want to be around them. You know, Dale Carnegie years ago wrote a book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. The Power of Positive Thinking. Does anybody remember that book? Yeah, a few of us do. Yes. I'm going to tell you, but you know what? Dale Carnegie is telling us a lot of stuff that was good for life. But I'm going to tell you, the pages of the New Testament tell us the same thing. Things are not impossible. That's a state of mind that keeps us from doing things that can happen. It's not impossible for me to be positive in every circumstance. But somehow or another, we read a passage like Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And we'll say, well, he doesn't really mean always. Or he'll say, do things without murmuring and disputings. And we'll say, well, he doesn't mean. We can always come up with a twist to that and say, well, this is okay in this case. Well, God specializes in the impossible. If you would, turn with me to Luke chapter 1. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1. And this is where I think we need to make sure we end this thought this evening. And that is that God can take care of the impossible. You say, well, I just don't think I can do this. I don't think I can always be positive, David. Well, you know what? It is hard. I know we live in life. But again, Paul told us what? In everything, by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. You know what? I need positive attitude. I need a positive outlook. I need to talk to God about that. And you know what? Verse 37 says of Luke chapter 1, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Now you say, well, what are they talking about? They're talking about, you know, Mary conceiving and having a son. But she never had known a man. And you say, well, that's impossible. Well, yeah, with man, it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. That's right. But you know, we need to understand that I can do things that's possible. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. We know that verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do it. With God, it is possible. It is not impossible. It may be impossible for men, but it's possible with God. Luke chapter 18, verse 27. I think about how God shows us this in Scripture. And I know a lot of times we look at things like the children of Israel crossing over on the Red Sea in Exodus chapter 14. And we see examples like that, and we see, well, this is God doing something with a miracle. God is working something out. But you know what? What they saw is they saw it was impossible. You know, here's Pharaoh's armies. They're coming down on us, and we are going to surely die. Here we are. They're going to catch us. There's no way that we're going to be able to get out of their hand. But after they crossed over on the dry ground, you remember God caused the waters to flood. And the armies of Pharaoh perished in the sea. You see, with men, things are impossible. With men, they could have never crossed over on dry ground. But they did. They crossed over on dry ground. When it seemed like the armies of Pharaoh were following and coming right after them, they were still going to catch. The waters came back together and they drowned in the sea. God can work things out. I don't always know how God is working. I don't have to know how God is working. But you know what I need to do is I need to have the attitude of mind, the attitude of faith, the attitude that I'm going to put my trust in God. See, that's why this is so important. is because really what it gets back to who I trust. What I'm really looking to life and what I think life is all about. Because if I think life is all about the here and now and all about that, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be miserable. But if I realize that life is not about here and now, but this life is about going to heaven when I die. This life is about thinking about God and trusting God and letting Him take care of things in His time, then I can choose the good attitude. I can be like the Apostle Paul. I can be in prison. And I can be singing praises to God. I can be praying. I can be writing a letter and saying, you know, brethren, don't worry about me. Things are working out good for me. And you know what? I rejoice in the things I'm hearing that are going on while I'm here. You know, those things are bad that happen in life. But when I choose that good attitude because I trust in God, everything will be better. Maybe this evening, you need to make a choice in your life. Maybe it's your attitude, but maybe it's choosing to serve God. Maybe you haven't done that, and you need to do that tonight. You need to come in faith, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. To be buried with Him in baptism, to rise up then as a child of God, a new creature. Trusting in God who can see you through to the end. And we can assist you tonight in making your life what it ought to be. Let us know how we can help you. While we stand and sing, won't you come?